All right, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Vet, Amud Aleph, nine lines down. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amatis Ma'ot Meiser Sheni L'Shlamim, Lo Kano Shlamim. So he makes a statement here that if you want to declare your Ma'ot Meiser Sheni for Shlamim, it does not work. My time out. What's the reason for that? Delo Alima Kedushat Shlamim, the Meichal Kedushat Meiser Sheni. The monetary consideration of Kedushat Shlamim cannot devolve upon the Ma'ut Meiser Sheni. So there are a lot of factors involved over here. The primary, the optimal purchase that one should make with Ma'ut Meiser Sheni is a Shlamim. You can see this throughout Miuchas the Rashi over here. He says, Abagav d'stam Ma'ut Meiser Shlamim heim. Even though by default we would assume that the Ma'ut Meiser Sheni are going towards Shlamim, because that is what Chazal told us we should do with Ma'ut Meiser Sheni. Now, Mina Torah, Ma'ut Meiser Sheni can be used to acquire food items, and then those food items are eaten inside of Yerushalayim. There's very little limitation in what you can buy in terms of food items. The Mishnah in Eruvin speaks about it, that the exclusion is Mayim and Melech. But other than that, really almost any food item would be fine, and you can eat it in Yerushalayim. Despite that fact, we still say that Stam Ma'ut Meiser should be put towards Shlamim. That was encouraged by Chazal. In the Yerushalmi, interesting enough, it goes through stages where they originally allow people to buy whatever they want in terms of meat, and then they see the people are buying meat and avoiding the mizbeach, and therefore they institute a gzerat chachamim to say that you can't just buy meat. When you go to Yerushalayim, you have to buy shlamim. That's not found in the Bavli. The Bavli just states it as a given based on the gzerat shava that we saw of sham, v'chalta sham, that is found by the zivchei shlamim, as well as the sham that is found by the Meiser Sheni. So that Gezer Shava of Sham Sham teaches us that the Shlamim are both a good way to spend your Meiser money, but even maybe the optimal way to spend your Meiser money. So now you have a situation in which the person has Ma'ot Meiser Sheni, and he wants to declare them to be also have Kedushat Shlamim. So he's trying to impose Kedushat Shlamim on the monies, thereby directing him to only spend them on a behemah to acquire a shlamim. And Rabbi Ami says it fails. He can't do it. The kedushat shlamim is not strong enough to devolve upon the Ma'ot Meiser Sheni, and the Ma'ot Meiser Sheni remain Ma'ot Meiser Sheni, that you could spend them on any food item that you'd like. You do not have to spend them on a shlamim. If you imbue it with kedushat haguf, everybody agrees that behemah vadai chala kedushat haruya mizbeach. When you purchase a behemah, which is ra'oi for the mizbeach, there clearly you can create kedushat shlamim together with the ma'ot meiser sheni, with the kedushat meiser sheni. Mishnah says you can do it, kedushat aguf. What Rabbi Ami says is you can't do that when it comes to monetary kedushah. Kedushat damim of shlamim, you can't do that. That's how Rashi Ketaviah distinguishes what Rabbi Ami is saying to what the Mishnah is saying. So meitevei, is that really true? So now, just some background. There are Mishnayot in Meiser Sheni. This is a second in the series of Mishnayot. The first Mishnah has the objects reversed. We have it here, Halokeach Chaya L'Zivchei Shlamim, U'Beheima L'Basar Ta'ava. So that's the second Mishnah. The first Mishnah says, Halokeach Beheima L'Zivchei Shlamim, V'Chaya L'Basar Ta'ava. You buy a behemah, which can go on the mizbech as a shlamim, and that's what you do. You purchase the behemah as a shlamim with your ma'ot, or you purchase a chaya, a kosher animal that can be eaten inside of Yerushalayim. Obviously, a chaya cannot go on the mizbech, so basar tava, which is the lashon that's used in Sefer Dvarim to describe meat that is chulin. If you purchase the chaya for meat that's chulin, both of those are good purchases with the ma'ot meiser sheni. But you have a problem, which is that dam and the chaleb go on the mizbeach. The basar is eaten by the balim and a little bit by the kohanim. But then you have the or, you have the hide that is left over. That hide is not an edible part of the animal. The question is, what happens to the hide? You've now exchanged ma'ot meiser sheni onto this animal, and now you have a hide that derives from that. So the din is that that hide, yotzei l'chulin, becomes chulin, and you can do what you please with it. Both Rashi and the Ketav Yad, as well as the Balei Tosafot, bring the limud from the Gemara that says, Babakar, Malamech, Lokhim Bakar, Agav Oro. That the Bakar tells you that you're allowed to buy a Bakar, Agav Oro. even though the skin will not be eaten, it's not an edible item, and then the skin will be released to chulin. And the same is true, yain ayadei kado. And wine inside of its barrel, inside of a pitcher, you can purchase it that way, even though some of the expenditure is going towards the hide or towards the kad. In both of those cases, it's fine, and the edible part has kushat maser, and you consume it. The other part goes out the chulin. So that's the previous mission. The next mishnah, which is the one that they're quoting over here, is halokeh chaya b'zivchei shlamim. He reverses it. He purchases a chaya for shlamim, which obviously can't be, because a chaya can't go on the mizbeach as a shlamim. So in essence, what he's doing is trying to create kedushat shlamim on a chaya, which would be monetary shlamim value, and then he would have to then sell the chaya and use those monies to purchase a behema that would be a shlamim. Ubehema lebasar ta'ava. Or he bought a behema which could have been a shlamim, and instead he buys it lebasar ta'ava to eat it as chulin meat. Lo yatza or lechulin. The skin, the hide, doesn't then get released to chulin. So as opposed to the case where you do it correctly, where the hide is released, over here the hide is not released. Lav the memra. Isn't that telling you dekane shlamim? The shlamim are successful over here. When we say the hide is not released, what does that mean, that the hide is not released? He purchased a chaya with ma'ot maiser sheni, and he purchased it for the purpose of shlamim. Now, had he purchased it just with ma'ot maiser sheni, he would have been fine, because he ate it as basar ta'aba, and that's exactly what the previous mishnah tells you. But here he bought it as a shlamim, and it's telling you that the or is not released. Seemingly, it means that he's got to use that value of the or and then purchase a shlamim with the value of the or. If that is true, we have a situation in which you've successfully created kedushat damim of a shlamim on top of the kedushat maaser sheni, which is exactly what Rabbi Ami said you can't do. Here you have successfully done that. So that's what the Gemara's question is. Later on, Rashi in the Ketav Yad makes it sound like the question is just from the or. But earlier on, he says that Hilkach or Nami Kadosh. The or is also Kadosh, not just the Basar. The question is, when he says that, does that mean also Kadosh b'Ma'aser Sheni? Or is he saying that just like the Basar is Kadosh b'Kedushat Dmei Shlamim, so too the or has that same status? So that you really just transferred, created the Kedushat Damim of Shlamim on this Chaya, and now you have to sell it, monetize it, and then purchase a shlamim with those monies, including the or, including the hide. And then the question really derives from the entirety of the behema, rather than just the or itself, because it's all dmei shlamim sitting on top of maaser sheni. And that's the way that the Sfat Emet reads the question of the Gemara over here. Now we seem to have a Mishnah that indicates you can even do it with kedushat damim, which is that the chaya now has a requirement that you monetize it and purchase a shlamim with it, indicating that you are locked in now to buying a shlamim, and it's a monetary lock. Not that this chaya is a shlamim. This chaya has monetary value that you must now expend on a shlamim. That's exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Ami said. So Gemara says, ha itmar ala, amarav, lo kani shlamim. The shlamim is not successful at creating kedusha over there. My lo yatsa or lo chulin. What does it mean that the skin or the hide is not released to chulin? Hachi kamar. Eina b'torat latzeita or l'chulin. The or is no longer in the category of something where it should be released to chulin. My taima, what's the reason? Amaraba nasek lokeach shor l'charisha. It's as if you bought a shor that is a plowing shor, not a shor that is used for meat. So if you misspend your ma'ot maaser sheni, what happens in that instance? What we say is that you're unsuccessful at using or expending the ma'ot maaser sheni. And that means that the kedusha remains on the money. The animal does not gain kedushat ma'ot maaser sheni. And then now you have a problem, because the person who sold you this shor has the money, and the money is imbued with kedushat maaser sheni. So the mishnayot and maaser sheni say you have to now separate out food items and then be poder the monies onto these food items with the money that the mocher has, because the mocher has the money now, and you've left him with monies that really mo'ot maaser sheni, and he doesn't know that, because you thought you were exchanging it onto this shore, but this shore is the charisha, it doesn't work. So in that instance, you have to then separate out foods, transfer the kedusha to those foods because you were unsuccessful at doing it. So that's a suggestion over here as well. When you purchase a chaya lishlamim, what it means is lo yitzei or l'chulin means you were unsuccessful. How unsuccessful you are is really the subject of two lishonot in the Miyuchas Rashi. Just look at the Rabbeinu Gershom first. He says, aval hai lo yitzei l'chulin v'imacher v'ikach midmeo or basar. Then you'll be unsuccessful with regards to the skin or the hide. I mean that the basar, you were successful. You purchased a chaya. The transference of the kedusha worked, and it's maser sheni, now this chaya. But the hide, you were unsuccessful with, because the hide is not an item that you're allowed to purchase with ma'ot maser sheni. And therefore it has kedushat maser sheni still embedded in it. Then you have to use that, monetize that hide, ve'ochlo betorat maser. And then purchase something from Maser, a baloko and a shlamim. You don't have to buy a shlamim with it. The chaya is edible food. So that when you went ahead and purchased the chaya as a shlamim, you're unsuccessful. So now the basar of the chaya is just basar of ma'ot ma'aser sheni. So you can eat it like basar ta'ava. Meat is a fair object. That's the Mishnah before. If you bought a chaya, the basar ta'ava, it would work. Problem is that you bought a chaya, the same shlamim. So we say that the shem shlamim fails. So now what does that mean for the chaya? The basar, fine, you can eat that, b'kedushat ma'aser sheni, that's not a problem. The hide, you can't. So that retains its kedushat ma'aser sheni. You have to monetize it, and then buy other stuff that would be good for ma'aser sheni with it. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom says it. In the Inyan Acher, which is, it's a little bit of a Gersa problem, in Miyuchos the Rashi, but in the Rabbeinu Gershom it's clear. And the way that the Rashi and the Ktav Yad phrases it, is eina b'torat shlamim, it doesn't have the din of a regular shlamim, let's say to or l'chulin, that the or then is released to chulin, v'yetzeh mikdushat maser, and therefore is released from the kedushat maser. So since that's not the case, the kedushat maser remains on the or. Not to say that there's kedushat shlamim on the or, but rather there is kedushat maser on the or, because of the fact that this isn't really a shlamim. If you look at the first line of the Miyuchas Rashi, he says, it fails completely. You are unsuccessful at exchanging the ma'ot ma'aser sheni onto this chaya. So that's more along the lines of what you were saying. You did something wrong. It can't be a shlamim. And you didn't say basar ta'ava. So basically it fails. It's a complete failure. The kedusha remains on the monies. And this animal is chulin legamre. It's not ma'aser sheni. It's not shlamim. It's nothing. It's chulin. It remains what it was before. The monies retain their kedusha of ma'aser sheni, and now you're going to have to re-exchange those monies onto something else. Now again, somebody else is holding that money now, so you're going to have to separate out the food and have the kedusha transfer onto that food. So that's two different ways to learn this. When the Gemara says over here it fails, it's a question of does it fail completely, which would then be akin to what you say by lokeach shor l'charisha, which is its complete failure, and therefore you now have to purchase with the ma'ot ma'aser sheni alternate items over here. The other way to learn it is that when you exchange it onto a shor l'charisha, it fails. Over here it's different because the basar itself of the chaya is ra'oi, the ma'ot ma'aser sheni, so that works. But it fails in the sense that it's only the hide that is unsuccessful, so we're segregating out the hide and saying that's the unsuccessful part, and that part you're going to have to replace. So you can either say that it's the money's retained the kedushat ma'aser sheni, or that the hide takes on the kedushat ma'ot ma'aser sheni, and then you have to monetize it and buy something with it. So that's two different ways to read what the Gemara concluded over here. But in either case, what we don't see is kedushat damim of shlamim devolving upon the ma'ot ma'aser sheni, because in neither case do we say that you have to monetize it and then buy a shlamim with it. All right, Itmar. So now the Gemara suggests that this statement of Rabbi Ami is actually a machloket amoraim. Someone who declares his ma'ot ma'aser sheni to be designated for a shlamim, he's trying to basically say, I'm using this solely for the purchase of a shlamim. He's trying to imbue it with kedushat shlamim, the monies. Ryokhan Amar, kani, it works. Rabbi Lazar Omer, lo kani. His Talmid Chaver, Rabbi Lazar says, it doesn't work. Valiba, de Rabbi Yehuda, damar, maser, mamon, hejotu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that ma'ot ma'aser sheni are basically the ownership or under the auspices of the balim, to kule amalo plige dekani, there you can definitely do it, because it's basically chulin. When you have monies that are chulin, you can declare them for a shlamim, And the Maisa Sheni money will be no different. It's Chulin money, and you can declare it Lishlamim. Keep Lige, Aliba de Rabbi Meir. They argue according to Rabbi Meir. Dabar, Maser Mamon Gavoahu. When it comes to Maiser Sheni, those monies really belong to the Mikdash. They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Madamar Lo Kani Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar, who says it doesn't work, he just follows Rabbi Meir's logical conclusion, which is if it doesn't belong to you, you can't now create Kedushat Shlamim on it. It's not your money to make it Kedushat Shlamim. Madamar Kani, Rabbi Yochanan says you are successful. Kevin de Maaser Kari Le Shlamim. Here it says Kari. The Tzon Kodeshim changes the Girsa to Karev Le Shlamim. Since the Malot Maaser Sheni can be brought as a Shlamim, which makes more sense, Ki Mitpas Le Nami Tofis. Since Maaser Sheni has this Hekesh to Shlamim, that's what we saw before in the Miyuchas Rashi over and over again, that the primary or optimal way to use the Malot Maaser Sheni is for a Shlamim. Therefore, you are able to generate that Kedushat Shlamim. So since the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni can be brought, but the idea being that the optimal usage of the money, according to Chazal, is to make a purchase a Shlamim. And if that's the case, you should be able to preempt that and then imbue the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni with Kedushat Shlamim. That's the view of Rabbi Yochanan. So now we've both expanded this view of Rabbi Ami to be a machloket, but we've also narrowed it to say it's only within the view of Rabbi Meir that this machloket exists. In Rabbi Huda, nobody questions the fact that you can be matpis because it's ma'ot chulin. Meitevei, ha-matpis ma'ot maaser sheni l'shlamim. Someone who tries to imbue the ma'ot maaser sheni with shlamim, shu podan. When he redeems them, mosif aleihem shnei chumshin. He's got to add on 2/5, meaning that it's a 25% twice he's got to add on. Echad le-kodesh, ve-echad le-maaser. One for kodesh, one for maaser. Now this has to do with the ba'alim, owners that redeem something. If owners redeem their maaser sheni, when they redeem their maaser sheni, they not only have to purchase it at the value of the maaser sheni itself, they have to add on 1/5. The Torah says this at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in that statement about maaser sheni, it's also true about hekdesh. Someone redeems Hekdesh, someday they were Makdish, and they redeem it, the Balim themselves redeem it, and they add on 1/5 on top of that. So here you have a redemption that involves both items. It's both Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, as well as Shlamim. So you have Hekdesh, and you have Maaser Sheni. What you see from the Braita is that he has to redeem it, and then add 1/5 for each of them. That indicates that they were successful at imbuing the Kedushat Shlamim on the monies. Otherwise, why would you have to add on 1/5 for Hekdesh? You'd only have to add on 1/5 for the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. So this Braita, it's a problem for Rabbi Elazar, who says that you are unsuccessful at doing this. He says, Misvara Divrei HaKol. He, who says this Braita is according to everyone? Ha'amani Rabbi Yehuda. That Braita is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And everyone agrees, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can do this. You can be matpis on Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. So this Braita is no longer a question. And the truth is that the Balei HaTosafot then say that that could have been the answer before too. That Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, we said was a problem for Rabbi Ami because it seemed to indicate that you are successful at being Matpish, Shlamim, Antumot, Maaser Sheni. The Gemara could have answered, Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. That Mishnah is Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what the Balei HaTosafot say over here. La'el Nami, Gabi Chaya, L'ziv Chay Shlamim, Avi Matzli Shnui, Haimani Rabbi Yehuda. They could have answered that. But if you look down in the Ot Yud of the Tzon Kodoshim, he says that the Tosfot Shantz, Terzo de la El, Lo Matzi Lishnuye Yochi. It wouldn't have worked up above. Dimatnitan he, because that's a Mishnah, Ustam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir he. So he says you couldn't have done that. With the Braita, you have the option to say it's Rabbi Yehuda. And the truth is that Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So if this is found in the Midrash Halacha, even more it makes sense that it was Rabbi Yehuda. But a Mishnah where the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, there you don't have the option to declare it as being authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So the Baal Tosafot are willing to do it because that solves your problem. You can say it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosafot Shantz says that that's not a good answer there because it's a Stam Mishnah and a Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir he. Okay, next Mishnah. This is something we took for granted in yesterday's daf, which is that if you obligate yourself in bringing a todah, which means bringing the todah and the lechamim that come with it, then you're not allowed to discharge that obligation using maaser sheni money. Because then you're discharging an obligation that you personally have with monies that are not yours. It belongs to Maaser Sheni. You can't discharge your obligation. So here the Mishnah wants to know, where do you know that from? How do you know that you can only use chulin money to discharge your obligation that already exists on yourself? That's different than taking Ma'ut Maaser Sheni and purchasing a shlamim, or purchasing a todah with it, which we said is fine. That we learned from Achalt Sham, the Gzer Shabbat tells you you can expend Ma'ut Maaser Sheni and a shlamim. And we learned from Todat Shlamav that Todah is a subset of Shlamim, and so the same din applies to a Todah, that you can use Ma'ot Maaser Sheni to purchase a Todah. That's all fine. But here you obligated yourself to bring such a Korban independent of the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. You can then not discharge your obligation by using Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, and that's what the Mishnah is asking. How do you know that it has to come from the Chulin? It says, Talmud Omar, Bizavachta Pesach Lashem Elokecha, Sonu Bakar. It's a very problematic pasuk that's found in Sefer Devarim in Parshat Re'eh with regards to Pesach. Over there, there are a number of items that are problematic, which is that in Sefer Shmot, there's a very particular procedure and defined laws with regards to the Korban Pesach. One of those is that it can only come from Tzon. It can only be a Keves or an Eiz that you bring the Korban Pesach from. As well as the fact that in Sefer Shmot, it has to be Tzli. It has to be roasted. There in Parshat Re'eh, it first of all says you bring it mitzonu bakar. It offers the option to bring a Pesach from bakar. It also says that you are mevashel, that you can cook it as opposed to tzli. So the Chazal in different places in Shas deal with this problem of the stira. This Mishnah is dealing with part of that. Valo Pesach enu ba ela min hakvasim u min ha'izim. Doesn't it only come from tzon? Im kein matam alomar tzon u bakar. Then why is there bakar mentioned by the Korban Pesach? Other places in Shas, the Mishnah and the Gemara declare that is because the Bakar there is not a reference to the Korban HaPesach, that is a reference to the Chagigat Yudalit. It's the Chagiga that comes to ensure or facilitate that you're eating the Pesach ala sova. So it's a reference to the Chagigat Yudalit, not to the Korban HaPesach. Over here the Gemara says, Lakish, it makes a Hekesh. Kol haba min hatzon umin habakar lepesach. Any Korban that is brought, meaning Bakar and Tzon are all your options for Korbanot, so now, anything that comes from Bakar Tzon will have the same din as a Pesach. Ma Pesach davar shebechova ve'ein ba ela min hachulin. Just like Pesach is an obligatory offering, and you can only bring it from the chulin. We'll have to see why that is. The Gemara will ask that question right away. Af kol davar shebechova eino ba ela min hachulin. So too, any other obligation that you have, or obligatory offering that you have, must only come from the chulin. The fikach. Therefore, the conclusion is, Homer, Harei Alai Todah, Harei Alai Shlamim, someone who obligates themselves to bring a Todah Shlamim, Ho Ba'in Chova, now that you're obligated to bring them, it's not a voluntary offering anymore. You now, through a neder, made yourself an obligatory party, Lo Yaviu Ela Min HaChulin. They must be brought from the Chulin, cannot be discharged using Maaser Sheni money. Unisachim, B'chol Makom, Lo Yaviu Ela Min HaChulin. Nisachim always have to come from Chulin. There you do not have an option to buy them with Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. In the Miyuchas the Rashi, he explains the two possible scenarios where you have this by Nisachim is one where he committed to being a Zevach but didn't mention Nisachim. That seems to be a very difficult explanation because we already said if you bring a Zevach, you automatically are chayav to bring a Nisachim. So that doesn't seem to be a proper explanation. It says, Inami, even if you don't make it into a nether, but you say, Harei Zo, you make it a nidava, so it's not a chuba, still you can only bring the nisachim from chulin. The Ktav Yad and Rashi just gives a much simpler explanation, which is, even if you're bringing the shlamim from Ma'ot Maaser, that should also entitle you then to bring the nisachim from Ma'ot Maaser. You can't do that because of a nisachim to kalilinu, lo yavim in a maaser. Nisachim which are totally going on the mizbeach, that you don't have a right to bring from the maaser sheni. Just like you can't purchase an olah with Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, you also can't purchase Nisachim, because they both are Kalil the Mizbeach, and that's not an option for Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. As Tosfot says with regards to the olot, that kol davar dekulo the Mizbeach enu ba min ha-maser, and he brings from the Sifrei, because it says that you have to bring something, achila sheyesh ba simcha. It has an achila that has simcha associated with it, which means an achila that the person themselves is eating, not quote-unquote, achilat mizbeach. Now, Tosfot does note over here that there is a little bit of a problem, which is that, zofot u'menachot v'lachmei todah minolan. He says, what about birds, menachot, and lachmei todah? We're going to see later on in today's daf. I don't know if we'll get fully through this, but there's an alternate opinion as to where we learned this from. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So over there, that works. Because over there, they learned it from a chatat, and therefore it's relevant, because there is a chatat by a mincha and an oaf. But over here, where you're speaking about expenditures of Maot Maaser Sheni and Bakar and Tzon, these aren't options over there. If these aren't options, then where do you learn that these have to come from Chulin? Unless you learn it from a Mem Matzinu, but Tosafot just leaves that as an unresolved issue, because you now limited the limo to Bakar and Tzon, which is animals that are brought as Korbanot. Right? Upesach kufe min olan. Pesach itself, how do you know that it can only come min a Chulin? Titania, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Pesach b'Mitzrayim, but Nemar Pesach l'dorot. Ma Pesach amur b'Mitzrayim lo bala min a Chulin. Just like the Pesach Mitzrayim could only come from Chulin, a Pesach amur l'dorot lo bala min a Chulin. So too, Pesach l'dorot can only come from Chulin. Pesach Mitzrayim, the fact that it comes from Chulin, is just because there was nothing else available. There was no Hekdesh, there was no Maaser Sheni, none of those things applied in Mitzrayim. So it had to come from a Chulin. So just like the Pesach Mitzrayim came from Chulin, so too Pesach Dorot comes from the Chulin. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, v'chi danin efshar, mishi e efshar. What type of limud is that? When you're in Pesach Mitzrayim, you have no choice. So that's why, of course, it came from the Chulin. But maybe by Pesach Dorot, where you do have a choice, maybe you do have such an option. Who says you can learn from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Dorot? Amar lo, afal pi she'i efshar, raya gedolahi, v'nilmad heimenu. Despite the fact that it's Efshar, it is a great proof, and we're going to learn from it. Chazar Rabbi Akiva, Badano Din Acher. Rabbi Akiva then goes and learns it differently. Ma'ab the Pesach Mitzrayim, Shekein Ein Taon Matan Damim Ve'emurim Negabi Mizbeach. Wait a minute, Pesach Mitzrayim has many deficits as a korban. Over there, the fats and the blood did not end up on the Mizbeach. The blood ended up on the doorposts and the mashkof. And the fats, there's no indication what they did with the fats at all. Maybe even they ate them. So over there, that's not a real korban, like we think in the classic sense of a korban, that the dam and the emurim end up on the mizbeach. So then, tomar, the Pesach Dorot, shita'un matan damim ve'emurim legabi mizbeach. How can you then learn, too, Pesach Dorot, that requires damim and emurim legabi mizbeach? Pesach Mitzrayim might have a different din than Pesach Dorot, because Pesach Dorot is a totally different type of korban that goes on the mizbeach. And even though the truth is that this pircha of Rabbi Akiva, you might think to come to the opposite conclusion, which is the fact that in Mitzrayim that the chalavim and the emurim didn't go on the mizbeach makes it more into an edible item, which makes it more likely to come from maaser. It should not be something that undermines the fact that it can come from maaser, but rather even bolster the idea that it should come from maaser. And may not even need the limud of shlamim, because all we really need the limud of shlamim is because part of it goes on the mizbeach. Over here it just might be ochel, just regular food that you could have bought with Maot Maaser Sheni, because all of it's being eaten by the individual. The Sfat Emet points out that the question really has a flaw in the logic. Logic doesn't really follow through because the deficit that Rabbi Akiva is noting by Pesach Mitzrayim actually turns out with regards to maaser to be a benefit. Amar lo, so this is the response of Rabbi Eliezer, Hari Omer, Vavadta et avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh. You will do this avodah, I mean the Pesach, during this month, shiyu kol avodot shechodesh hazeh kazeh, that all work, all avodah, all sacrifices, all avodah that is done during this month are all the same. So there's a hekesh that draws a hekesh between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot. And we have a principle that a hekesh, you cannot answer with a logical response. The Miuchas Rashi notes over here, Da'adam dan kal v'chomer me'atzmo. Person can create a kal v'chomer, which is a logical argument by themselves. Therefore, you can have a logical retort and undermine it. Ve'en adam dan gzer shav v'hekesh me'atzmo. On the other hand, a gzer shav and a hekesh, you can't do on your own. Elim kein lamdam mirabo, v'rabo mirabo, alacha l'moshe mi'sinai. That's something that's a misora of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that means it's not subject to a logical review. It means that it's a hekesh, irrespective of the logic. It's a gzer shava, irrespective of the logic. So now, Rabbi Eliezer is freed of any logical arguments against him because he has a hekesh. And hekesh says that Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Dorot are the same. And just like Pesach Mitzrayim came from Chulin, so too Pesach Dorot only came from the Chulin. Rabbi Akiva. So now let's understand Rabbi Akiva better. Isavar la, dein danim efshar mi ishe efshar, liko b'milte. If he really believes that you cannot learn something from that which is impossible to something that is possible, stick to his guns. Why did Rabbi Akiva in the Braita that we brought all of a sudden back down and change his mind and give a new limud? He said, you can't learn from Efshar to Efshar. Then Rabbi Eliezer says, even so, we're still going to learn it. So then Rabbi Akiva is done the nacher. Why did Rabbi Akiva jump tracks and then try to bring a different proof if his first statement is a good enough retort to Rabbi Eliezer? Why did he abandon it? So that's the question Mar's asking. If he backed away from his position of Efshar to Efshar, so then he brings a second limud. There's a difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot. Pesach Mitzrayim didn't have blood on his back, didn't have Emurim on his back. Pesach Dorot does. By the low gomer me Pesach Mitzrayim shum hai pircho, and the reason he didn't learn it out of Pesach Mitzrayim is because of this problem, then you can't learn out of Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Midbar yochiach. So Gemara says, then why don't you just learn it out of the Pesach Midbar? Pesach that was done in the Midbar has dam on the Mizbeach, has fats on the Mizbeach, and yet it still only comes mina chulin. Because, again, in the Midbar, there is no Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni only starts when you come into the Aretz. So now, if he backed away and says, you could learn from me Efshar, but then I have another problem, which is Pesach Mitzrayim is different than Pesach Doro, fine, drop Pesach Mitzrayim, learn it out of Pesach Midbar. So my answer is, L'dvarav d'Rabbi Eliezer kamar. He's answering Rabbi Eliezer l'shitato, which is saying, L'didi, for me, ain't that name Efshar Mishi Efshar. I'm done. Because you can't learn something that's possible from something that's impossible. That means both Pesach Mitzrayim, where it was impossible, and Pesach Midbar, also impossible, because there's no Maaser Sheni. So neither of those, to me, are a paradigm that you can learn from. So I'm done. Pesach Dorot, you have no evidence from Pesach Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva is going to have to come up with a different limud completely. He says, these aren't the limudim that I'm going to use. L'didah. But according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, Danar Ma'ina, Danin Efshar, Mi'ishi Efshar, you say that it is plausible to learn Efshar, Mi'i Efshar, Ma'la Pesach Mitzrayim, Shkeinein Ta'un Matan Damim Be'morim Degabim Mizbeach. L'shitatcha, you should have a problem because not only is it Efshar to Efshar, but there's a different deficit, which is Pesach Mitzrayim doesn't have Dam and Emorim on the Mizbeach. Tomorrow at Pesach Dorot, Shetoun Matan Damim Be'morim Degabim Mizbeach, you want to learn that to Pesach Dorot, which has Dam and Emorim on the Mizbeach? Ve'amar Le Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer then responds to him and says, Va'avarato, I have a Hekesh. Even with your logical undermining of my statement that you can learn from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Dorot, I have an override. My override is that I have a Hekesh. So Rabbi Eliezer, why did Rabbi Eliezer respond with the Hekesh? Le'mele Pesach Midbar Yochiach. Rabbi Eliezer could say back to Rabbi Akiva, the Shita T, I don't have a problem. Right, drop Pesach Mitzrayim. That's not the source. Pesach Midbar is the source for me, and I think you can learn Efshar to Efshar. Pesach Midbar has Matan Damim on his back and Emorim on his back. I should be able to learn from Pesach Midbar to Pesach Dorot. Why didn't he answer that to Rabbi Akiva? L'dvarav de Rabbi Akiva gamar le. Rabbi Eliezer is responding to Rabbi Akiva l'shitato. L'didi danim Efshar mi Efshar. For me, I'm done. Because I can learn Efshar mi Efshar. U'vishim hai pircha de Pesach Midbar yuchiach. And your pircha on Pesach Mitzrayim, I got Pesach Bidbar in my back pocket, I'm all straightened out. I have no problem. L'didach, damart ein danim Efshar Mishe Efshar. For you who doesn't learn Efshar Mishe Efshar, so that precludes Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Bidbar, v'avadeta, I have the Hekesh for you. And then that would override everything, and therefore I think you're wrong, Rabbi Akiva. V'hashta nami lifruch. So why don't we answer back and say that there's a logical argument against the Hekesh. So that's where we came to the conclusion, what we noted before. Am Rav Sheshet, Zoto Merit, Emi Shivim Ala Hekesh. You can't respond logically to a Hekesh. A Hekesh supersedes logic because, as we noted before, it's a Misora, like as if it's a Locha L'moshe Mitzinai, it's Torah Shebal Peh, and that means that it's not subject to logical arguments. It's a Misora that says we learn this irrespective of whether it's logical or not logical. And as the Tosfot point out, Rabbi Akiva still believes that even though you aim Mishivir and Ala Hekesh, you still can't learn Efshar Mi'i Efshar. But then Tosfot goes on to say, Avo Ein Lomar Talait LeHekesha. Don't say that Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't have the Hekesh at all. Ta'akor Chinit LeHekesha, the Tzricha L'Shar Mile. Because he needs the Hekesh to learn other halachot of Korban HaPesach. He just says that there's a limitation that you can't learn something Mi'i Efshar to Efshar, And in this situation, that's what you're trying to do with the hekesh. Oh, bit tarbitza amur. Now tarbitza, as you can see in the Balei Tosafot, say hu beit midrash. If tarbitza is a term for the beit midrash, makom shemarbitzim bo Torah. It's called the tarbitza because that's where they spread the Torah. That's where they teach the Torah. V'lashon shosifu rabbonon bishas. He said very interesting. He thinks that it was a later addition to the Gemara, whether it was the Saboraim or the Gonim, they added in the Lashon of Tarbitza Amur, which was a terminology for what they call Marbitze Torah for the Beit Midrash. Over there they asked, V'chi davar lameid behekesh, choserum lameid behekesh. Wait a minute, you now have a hekesh behekesh. You started out with Pesach Mitzrayim, and now you have a hekesh to Pesach Dorot. Then the Mishnah says, from Pesach Dorot, you learn to other Korbanot because of Bakar and Tzom. That's a double Hekesh. That's a no-no in Kodashim. By Kodashim, you can only have one Hekesh. You can't have a double Hekesh. Now you have a double Hekesh. Mar says, Bichlola Itmar, Pesach Kulei Chada Milti. Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot are not really two separate entities. They are a singular entity. And that's basically what the Hekesh is telling you. Don't differentiate between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot. Because Pesach is one big category, and therefore Korbanei Pesach are one category. So it's not really a Hekesh, it is an indication, more like a Gilui Milta, that Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot are very similar. Given that, Pesach is all one unit, and there's only one Hekesh now, from Pesach to the other Korbanot. So that's the end of the Limud from our Mishnah, and how we get to that Limud from the Mishnah, based on, basically, Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, that Pesach Mitzrayim teaches you to Pesach Dorot, or Pesach Midbar teaches you to Pesach Dorot, which is based on this concept that you can use Efshar to teach you Efshar. And then from Pesach Dorot, from Bakar Utzon, that is found in the Pasuk in Re'eh, you learn to the other Korbanot. The Gemara says, V'Rabbi Akiva, Pesach Leinu Baila Min Achulin, Minole, where does he know that from? How does he know that Pesach is only coming from the Chulin? He rejects Rabbi Eliezer's logic because he said, you can't dan efshar mi'i efshar. And all of his responses over here were undermining Rabbi Eliezer the Shita Tal, but Rabbi Akiva himself never explains his Shita. How does he believe that you know that Pesach has to come in a Chulin? Nafgalei meha. He learns it from this. Damar shmo mishum Rabbi Eliezer, zota Torah, la'ola, v'la mincha, v'la chatad, v'la sham, v'lo miluim, u'zevach ha'shlamim. The pasuk that is at the end of the Parshiot HaKorbanot in Parshat Tzav, right before it discusses the Miluim. So over there you have this Pasuk that groups all the Korbanot together, and we have from that Pasuk what's called a Hekesh, the Grand Hekesh, as we would call it. It takes all the Korbanot and moves Dinim from one to the other because they're all associated together here in this Pasuk. The question is, what does each one of these words teach us? This is a Breita that we saw in Zvachim, it should be familiar to you. We'll go through it. There's a second Breita that is Rabbi Akiva's Breita, which we'll get to tomorrow. But at least today we'll start out with the Breita that is the lead-in Breita. Ola. What does Ola teach you? Ma Ola tuna kli. Just like an Ola requires a kli in order to process it, Av kol tuna kli. So too all the other Korbanot require a kli. Mahi. Which kli are we speaking about over here? Which utensil has to be used? Ilim a mizrak. If you're saying that it needs a receptacle to do the Kabbalat Adam, that's what it's teaching you because it says by Har Sinai, by the same Bagonot, that they put it into the receptacles. Gabe zivchei shal mitzubar inamiktiv. By the same Bagonot, by Mamad Har Sinai, in Perek Chavdalet in Mishpatim, over there it talks about them bringing Korbanot. There were two Korbanot over there. They were zivachim and olot. Because it says there, Vayishlach et na'arei b'nei Yisrael, Vayarlu olot, Vayizbichu zvachim shlamim la'ashem parim, Vayikach Moshe et chatzi adam, Vayasem ba'aganot, V'chatzi adam zarak al ha'mizbeach. So there were olot, but there were also zivchei shami tzibur that were brought at the base of Har Sinai. So then why do you need olot to teach you that? You already have it by the zivchei shami tzibur, and you can learn it from zivchei shami tzibur as well. You don't need olot. That's not something that's unique to olot. Ela sakin. It's the knife that you have to shech the korban ola with a knife. Va'ola gufa min olan. How do you know that an ola requires a knife in order to shecht it? Last week's parsha dechdev. Vayishlach Avraham et yado. Vayikach et ha'ma'achelet lishchot et beno. It says he takes the ma'achelet, which is a knife. We'll learn that in the Gemara in Chulin, how they know that ma'achelet is a knife. But there he took the knife to shecht his son. V'hatam olahu. And we know that his son was going to be an olah, because the subsequent pasuk says, "Dechtiv ayaleil do olah tached beno." When he finds the ayo achar nechaz basvach, he makes it into an olah tached beno in place of his son. That means that his son he intended to make an olah, and he was going to shecht him with the ma'achelet, with a knife. So you see that there's an association of a knife with the olah, and therefore now we're going to learn that all korbanot require a knife to shecht them, and you don't do malika. Malika is relegated to the ofot. It has nothing to do with the behemot. And the only way to do shechita on the behemot is through a knife. So whether malika is the other option, or the other possibility is that maybe you don't need kli sharet. Meaning that maybe the fact that you need a ma'achelet over here indicates a necessity for kli sharet. That's discussed numerous times by the Baal Tosfot. We point this out a number of times in Shas, where Tosfot discusses whether the obligation here for kli means kli, or does it mean kli sharet? Part of the problem is that it doesn't have to be done by a kohen. So now you have non-kohanim using a kli sharet to shecht the animal. So Tosfot goes back and forth in favor saying that the knife is a kli sharet over here. And then that could be what we learn from this over here, is that it has to be a kli sharet. It has to be a metallic kli in order to do the shechita. The problem that Tosfot has is that in other places it allows you to use non-metallic kli lim in order to do the shechita. And then that could be what we learn from this over here. Obligation here for kli means kli. Maybe you don't need kli sharet. So again, that's a separate issue. The Baal Tosfot over here discussed that the Gemara in Chulin also learns from this that you have to do shechita on animals. In general, with something that's detached. And the Tosafot says that the Gemara over there rejects it and says that v'tema, the perakam of the Chulin, mukmina leilin in Chulin. Tamarina, mayne ayin the shechita shi betalush. How do you know you have to do shechita with something that's detached? Shemar v'yikachat ha-ma'achelet. Because Avram took a ma'achelet, something that's detached. But now the problem is, the Gemara here is saying it's talking about kodeshim. It's not speaking about chulin. So v'omer Rabbi Nutam, the krav v'adai v'kodeshim tiv, ela gamrinya nami chulin. Nichtov lishchot et beno, v'lo chtov lishchot et ha'olah. Because it says that he was going to shecht his son, which technically is chulin, and not an olah. So from there we're able to learn both in him. I would have answered a little differently, which is, the concept of shechita does not exist in Chulin. It's a borrowed item from Kodoshim. Shechita appears by Kodoshim, and when we do shechita by Chulin, we're replicating that which we do by the Kodoshim. And we discussed this many times. Those rules that come to Basar Chulin are a reminder of what is or what happens with Kodoshim, including shechita. The fact that you're not allowed to eat the dam. You're not allowed to eat the fats, both of which go on the Mizbeach by Kodoshim. By Chulin, you can't eat them. Meaning that there's semblances of Kodeshim in Chulin, and that's why you would also have Shechita of Chulin mimic the Shechita of the Kodeshim. Then the Gemara there in Chulin goes on to say, we can't learn from this because maybe Avram is a Zariz. And if Avram is a Zariz, who says everybody has to do it that way? Maybe that's what Avram wanted to do. But not everybody does that, and then you can't learn the din. So Tosfot says, well then maybe over here too. How do you know that the knife that was used for the olah isn't just Avram being a zariz, and then you can't learn anything from it? That doesn't prove anything about kodeshim. So in the end he says, the fact that he prepared ahead of time and brought a knife instead of using a sharp rock or a kaneh that he would find there, that's the idea of zrizut, that he took preemptive action in order to do that. But the inyan olah, that it needs a kli, then why did the Torah mention ma'achelet, except for the fact that an olah tuna kli? Which is that you could have had him use anything. He could have brought some other mechanism to do the shechita. And then that would have been zrizut of Avram that he prepared ahead of time. The fact that it specifically mentions that he used the ma'achelet to do it, could have said a mechatech. Why did it say ma'achelet? That must come to teach you that there's something specific about the utensil that he used that is important to the shechting of an olah, and that's not just about zrizut of Avram. And even though this is from before Matan Torah and about Avram Avinu, the fact that the Torah termed these items as olah and as a machelet tells you that it's trying to create associations that are relevant le'achar Matan Torah. And so it uses terminology that will have impact on the halacha, even though when Avram was doing it, these halacha weren't necessarily in force. But the choice of words in the description tells you that the Torah is also trying to convey information through the story, not just tell you a story. So that's what we learn from the word olah. Now, mincha. What do we learn from the word mincha? Ma mincha eina ne'achelet ela zichrei kuna. Afkol eina ne'achelim ela zichrei kuna. Just like mincha, which is kodshei kodeshim, is only eaten by the zichrei kuna, so too all kodshei kodeshim are only eaten by the zichrei kuna. Rashi in Zvachim notes that over by the chatat and the asham, it also says explicitly that they are kodesh kodeshim and only eaten by the zichrei kuna from the pasuk in Korach. So then why do I need it from mincha? I could have learned it from chatat. I could have learned it from asham. So Rashi and Zvachim answers because there it has a miut. It says Kodesh Kodeshim Ho. So it makes it sound like that maybe it's uniquely associated with these korbanot and not other korbanot. So therefore we use it from Mincha where it doesn't have that miut, and therefore we learn it from Mincha. The Bnei Tosafot don't like that at all. And they say here, like they say in the Gemara in Zvachim, that the reason they didn't learn from the Chatat and Hashem is because we have something else to do with them. We have another limud for chatat and asham. So that left mincha, so mincha, what are we going to do with it? That's the din that we learn from mincha. In Ochanami, you could have learned this from asham or chatat, but we have something else that we're going to learn from that. Mincha, we didn't have anything to learn. That's what we're going to learn from it. It's about the zichrei kuna. So what exactly are you teaching me? I chatat v'asham, behejav tivu. If you're talking about chatat and asham, it explicitly says by them that you have to eat them zichrei kuna. So I don't need the hekesh to teach me that. I zivchei sham mitzibur, if it's for the zivchei shami tzibur, which are also kodshei kodeshim, that they're eating by zivchei kuna, and that's not mentioned in psukim, that we learn out from the review in the pasuk. We just did this earlier in the Gemara. That is in Parshat Korach. It says, "Bekodesh hakodeshim tochlenu kol zachar yochaloto limeid ala zivchei shami tzibur she'ein echlim ala zivchei kuna." That review in the pasuk in Korach includes zivchei shami tzibur. So now I have chatat, asham, zivchei shami tzibur. What's left over? What do I need to teach me that zivchei kuna ate it? Allah, it's kulu kali al mizbeach. There's nothing to eat. So what am I learning for? Tanaehi, it's a machloki tanaim. Ika demaiti la mahocha. Some learn it out of the pasuk in Korach. Ika demaiti la mahocha. And some learn it out of this pasuk here by the word mincha in the pasuk that in this brayta that we have here. The Bali Tosafot point out here and in Zvachim that there's actually a third shita. There's a third way to learn it out about zichrei kuna by zivchei shami tzibur. So there's a three-way machloket. The Gemara here only brings two of them just to indicate that it is a machloket tanaim. Chatat. Ma chatat mikadsha bibalua. Av kol mikadsha bibalua. Just like by the chatat, it tells us that kol asher iga bibsara. Anything that comes into contact with the basar and absorbs from the basar chatat takes on the properties of a chatat. So too, any korban that conveys, whether it's flavor or is mixed with another korban, they will share the properties between them. So that's true of any korban. If you have shlamin, they get mixed with chulin. If you have chatat, it gets mixed with shlamin. You go bechamur sheben. You go by the most stringent of them, but their character traits are then imbued into the other item. Asham. Masham. Ein shafir vishilya kadosh bo. Just like by an asham, the placenta and the fetal sac are not kadosh bo. Af kol ein shafir v'shalya kadosh bo. Then for in all other korbanot, that's true as well. The reason why you know that by asham is because an asham always has to be a male korban. There are no female korbanot by an asham. So that's how you know that the shafir and shalya are not kadosh, because an asham doesn't have a shafir and shalya. So that raises the issue that Gemara says now. Kasavar, first of all, Vladot Kodeshim Babiatan Hein Kedoshim. That Vladot are not Kodesh from the moment that they are conceived, but rather only once they are born are they imbued with Kedusha. That's number one. And the Rashi in the Ketav Yad correlates the two issues where he says that the Korbanot Shematsu B'tochan Shvir V'Shalya Einan Kedoshim. They don't have an extensive Kedusha. The Kasavar Vladot Kedoshim Babiatan Kishanoladim Eim Kedoshim Velobim Eiman. Anything that's internal in utero is not Kadosh. And that's why the Shafir and the Shilyar are not included. So the Hasham teaches us that the Shafir and the Shilyar are not included, but that is because the Vladot Kedoshim Babiatan are Kedoshim. Number two is Vidanim Efshar Mimishi Efshar. And obviously you have to be able to learn something that is Efshar from Efshar. Because the whole point by the Asham is that it's Efshar. And then you're learning from that to the other korbanot where it is Efshar. Miluim. Ma miluim motrehem bisrefa. Just like by the miluim, it says that that which is left over past the time period will be subject to srefa.
Ve'ein balei chayim motreyem b'sreifa. That's only items that were already shechted and made into korbanot, where they're left over past their time, do they subject to sreifa? But live animals are not subject to sreifa. For instance, when you separate an animal, achrayut, you take two animals, one for the primary korban and one as a backup. The backup is not called notar then to be subject to sreifa. Because as Rashi in the Ktav Yad over here says, we don't find any sreifa there, b'motrehem, ela b'basar. Because it says, v'im yivater b'basar amiluim, min alechem ara boker, v'sarafta to notar b'esh. The leftovers go into the ish. But that's only the basar and the lechem. That's not a bal chai. Although Rashi in Zvachim says the reason is actually because they were korbanei tzibur. And by korbanei tzibur, we don't take out extra korbanot achrayut. And the korbanei tzibur don't get lost. So these scenarios don't come about in korbanei tzibur. And therefore that can't be what the pasuk is relating to. Of course, so too by older korbanot, motrehen b'sreifa, and so too by other korbanot. Any basar and lechem that's left over will be subject to sreifa. Ve'im ba'alei chayim motrehen b'sreifa. But any backup animal would not be subject to sreifa. Shlamim. Mashlamim mifaglim umitpaglim, just like shlamim, where they are causing pigol and they themselves become pigol. The way Rashi says it, that the shlamim can make their nisachim into pigol. If you have machshev pigol by the shlamim, it makes the nisachim that come with it also into pigol. And in the miyuchas, the Rashi says that the todah is mifagelet et alechem, similar to what Rashi in the Ktav Yad is saying, that the shlamim are mifagel the nisachim. Mitpaglim is that you can make the animal itself, the shlamim itself, can be made into pigol. Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's explanation, just simply says, you could say it about the shlamim itself. The dam hashlamim makes the mifagel, creates pigol in the shlamim, and the basara shlamim is mitpagel, is what becomes pigol. Afkom mifaglim or mitpaglim. So too all the other korbanot, where you have a matir, and there's something that's achilat adam or achilat mizbeach, they're subject to pigol. Both they can be mifagel, they can cause pigol, and they can become pigol. And so that you can extrapolate to all other korbanot. And as we know from the Gemara in Zvachim, that the ikar din of pigol is found by shlamim, and that's why it is the source for pigol by the other korbanot. All right, now, that's the end of this braita. We still haven't reached Rabbi Akiva yet. Matita Tana is the next part of the Gemara, where Rabbi Akiva has a slightly different version of this limit of the pasuk. And in that version, we're finally going to get to Rabbi Akiva's source for the fact that Pesach has to come mina chulin. So we're going to stop here halfway down, Pei Gimel Amud Aleph.